answer because your feet were probably sticking to the floor. Yes. Anyway, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to have you all here with us. This morning we're going to be continuing on the theme of living in the light. You know, Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You know, if we were to look at some of the ways that we are light, we know it all begins with the light of Christ. But for each of us who know Jesus, he is the one who makes us different. He is the one who is reflected through us. You know, first of all, the believer is light because we know God. We know God. Knowing God personally brings real transformation. Where we were once content to live in a dark world, our eyes are now open to what is really going on around us. Well, those who live in darkness, whether they know it or not, they can profess to be wise when they're really fools. That's how Scripture describes them. In Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." So when the existence of God is denied or is replaced with something else, it then becomes a dark place. But believers are light because they know the light and because they know God. The second thing, the believer is light because he knows the gospel and the scripture in general. Though the world rejects the gospel, to us as believers, it's the power and the wisdom of God. As the psalmist says, in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Scripture gives us direction personally, while at the same time produces a light to a world that is actually blinded to the gospel. While the world rejects Scripture and cannot understand it, for us, it is our daily bread. It's what we need daily. The third thing, the believer is light because he practices the character of God's righteousness. As believers, we are called to put aside the deeds of darkness and clothe ourselves with Christ. This is what gives us an identity as followers. So essentially, to be in darkness is to be ignorant of God and his word. When our character does not reflect him, we practice rebellion against him and his word. So as children of God, we are identified by our obedience to God. So three areas that set us apart as living in the light. We know God, we know his word, and we put it into practice. It becomes part of our character. So with that in mind, let's look at where we go from there. Looking at our scripture this morning, which is from Matthew chapter 5, excuse me, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And many of you will be familiar with this scripture as being one that is part of our vision as a fellowship, that as a church, we would be a light on a hill, that others could come in here and find God, that they would see something reflected in us that would display Christ. It begins with an affirmation saying, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." It's not saying you could be the light. Neither is it sometimes you're the light. This is definite. If the world is going to see the light of Christ, then you and I are the light of the world. They're going to see Christ through you and I. But I want to focus more on the individual rather than what the church is. As believers, we must avoid the temptation to hide our light. When Jesus speaks of us being the light, he personalizes it by saying, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. In that instance, it would not be serving its purpose. What good will it do in any room or any place that it finds itself as long as it remains hidden? So what would cause us to hide our light? Well, if it's at work, is it because we fear being ridiculed or perhaps not being accepted? It might even hinder your chance of promotion, and therefore you'll keep quiet about your faith. You know, at one time, being a Christian in a workplace would get respect. There would be an acceptance that you would have integrity, you could be trusted, and also reliable. Many of the qualities that employers look for today, we find that there is caution in them. And it's not about those qualities anymore. There's a wariness that believers that you might be opinionated, maybe even a bigot, homophobic, intolerant of others. And perhaps that's just my cynical view. But the reality is, non-believers do not like hearing the truth and the challenge of God's word. That's when it gets turned on us. But you see, we're actually not the ones being rejected. Jesus is. In Luke 10, verse 16, Jesus says, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So holding back because of our own fears becomes a falsehood. And therefore, we're just simply following the temptation to hide the light of Christ. When we do that, we're simply playing into the enemy's hands. He wants us to put that light under a bowl where it can't be seen. And if the enemy gets, you know, if he can get us into a place where we take the rejection as, you know, a personal slur because of a comment that gets aimed at us, it may cause us to shrink back unless we remind ourselves who it was that suffered the rejection in the first place, so that we might have the light of Christ in us. That, of course, is Christ Jesus. The other area where we can tend to hide the light is simply because of laziness. I know we can all fall into that place where, you know, you think to yourself, you know what, I've done enough over the years. You know, I can just let everyone else deal with it because there's enough of them anyway. And we can start to excuse the reason, you know, we can make up reasons for stepping back and not being involved and not being part of the service anymore. We can't kid ourselves on having a constant commitment to Christ every day in every circumstance is a real challenge. To be consistent in our faith, to be at church every week, to read our Bible every day, to serve one another on every occasion. And of course, the most difficult part is when we fail to look to Christ to refresh us. Because we will struggle. There will be some days that are harder than others, and we need to seek Christ's help to refresh us, to fan the flame and to keep our light burning. Because laziness can easily overtake us. I speak from personal experience. So perhaps it's not fear or laziness for you. Then we need to consider, in what ways are you and I tempted to hide our light? What is it that would cause us to put our light under a bowl, where it's not been effective, it's not been seen? You know, it was a number of weeks ago, Joel Cowan reminded us in the prayer time on the Sunday evening of a prompting that he received many years ago when he felt that God was saying during a Sunday service to turn out all the lights in the hall. And it was a number of years ago. We're going to try it again, if you wouldn't mind putting the lights out. Don't run out, okay? Thank you. When you get a room like this, it gives an illustration of what it's like to live without God, to what it is of being in the dark, when nothing is clear and everything becomes shadowy. You can actually sneak out and you might not notice. But on your way out, Tom, put the lights on. We're going to catch you. And it was because of Joe sharing that, this is what actually prompted me for this particular theme of preaching about living in the light. We need to be aware of where we are, the life we live, and the effect that we can have. There are times where we'll just settle for being in the shadows. We prefer it to be dark and think, you know, I can just quietly hide away here. We can make the choice to hide, to avoid or even ignore the light of Christ. But it doesn't change the fact His light still shines. His light still shines. We might be tempted on occasion to put a light under a bowl. When I do that, it only makes me ineffective, not Christ. Let me give you another illustration. If you know me, I'm not exactly an extrovert. And you probably think, aye, stand up here talking. It took a long time for me to be comfortable enough to be able to do this. And in certain circumstances, I find standing up in front of people and speaking can be quite a challenge. And also to be expressive and wear my heart on my sleeve is not my style. Just ask Grace. I would be much more comfortable if everyone wasn't looking at me. I know, turn away. But you know what it's like? It's much easier to sit in the body. It's much easier to sit and be fed in many ways. It's much easier to sit there and, thanks to Mark's family for coming and assisting in the praise this morning, it's much easier to have other people to come up and lead us in worship and just be a part of that. Lord bless you. You see the challenge that's presented to us, where at times we can just settle for sitting back in the body. I would love it. But in saying that, I do enjoy this. I've now got a place of enjoying it. You know, I haven't been doing it 30 years, you know, but it takes a wee while. Some longer than others. Certainly, there are different things that gets us to that place where you're more comfortable to just hide, be in the body. Now, I'm not saying that you're all hiding, okay? I'm saying sometimes we can make the choice to do that. I say it's much easier to sit here than actually do something and be involved in something else. But what if I was to cover myself up, right? Here's something I made earlier. It's bigger than I thought. Hold on. Right. Okay. When I cover myself up, I can't see you looking at me. And you know what? See, for me, that's much better. Maybe no for you, but listen, I've still got enough light in here with my iPad. But unfortunately, it doesn't give you much light. But I'm happy, you just can't tell because I'm smiling under here. God will have to take us out of our comfort zone to allow us to be effective for Him. You know what? And if I don't get out here, I might get used to it. And I think that's the issue that we have. We can get used to being in that place of hiding. We can get used to being in that place that's just comfortable. We might not exactly cover ourselves with a blanket, but there are different ways in life that we use to hide. You know, at the very beginning of that scripture, it reminds us, you are the light of the world. You hear it? It's definite. You are the light of the world. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. He hasn't called us to hide. He hasn't called us to just disappear somewhere and just let life continue. And it can be hard at times because of our sinful flesh. It would be totally selfish of me to continue hiding his light. And yet God can help us if we ask him. He understands and he knows that selfishness is a struggle for us. And yet true healing and freedom from selfishness can only come through him. And so it is for each of us. We'll be asked to step into new areas. We will be encouraged to share our faith and our love for Christ. And the real challenge actually goes against our selfishness, where I'm much more comfortable to just hide away. And I tell you, I don't like admitting I'm selfish and can be. That's something that I would rather have hidden. You might be seeing you're not doing a very good job of it, but anyway. But it's the kind of thing you don't really want people to see that side of you. And yet, it's in us. And it's a trait that nobody wants to have labelled to them. But if I want to live by what the scriptures teach, then I have to submit to him. I have to obey his word. I have to live with his word in me and allow his word to be seen in me. It's all about submitting to him. In Philippians 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." That's the real challenge that God presents us with. Looking after the interests of others and not ourselves. And it's only when we continue to live in his light that we'll have the strength and the endurance to actually stay out of the darkness. In whatever form that might take for you, I don't know personally what way you may take to hide. When you're in circumstances that you'd rather keep quiet about your faith, when you're in a place where, let's not say nothing, let's not add to this conversation, let's stay out of it altogether. For each of us, there will be some place that you find comfortable enough to go and hide. And what God is saying to us this morning is, don't hide. Let your light be seen. Let it be seen by others. The biggest battle we have is simply against ourselves. That first part of the scripture in Matthew 5 was to remind us, you know, don't hide your light under a bowl. Instead, he says, put it on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So as believers, we must shine our light in the most strategic places. And this is simply about our lives, looking for the most advantageous position that you can find, that it gives light to everyone who comes across your path. So how can we most effectively spread our light? The first thing we have to do is recognize the areas where you would rather hide. And we need to remove anything that would dim our light or make it ineffective. There are certain environments that could hinder the effectiveness of our light by either causing us to hide or to blow out when we're drawn into that place of temptation. Do you know, it's actually when you remain in his light, we have the confidence to place it on a stand for all to see. Because our confidence is in Christ and not ourselves. We want to maximise the output and effectiveness of a light. And so, in many ways, you have to consider, where is it you fit best? There's nothing worse than being in a ministry that's just no you. And you feel the fit isn't right. And it can be difficult for you in those circumstances. So it's quite important that you find where it is that you fit best. Where is it that you can be most effective? Where is it that you could shed the most light? Where you're not aware of yourself or your own feelings, being uncomfortable in something. Whereas when you know you've got that right fit, when you know that I'm exactly where God wants me, then his light will be, you know, effervescent. It will be seen. It will not be hidden. So as your ministry or gifting, geared more towards unbelievers than believers. Then you should be seeing the fruit of your labour in all circumstances, wherever you find yourself. And it's certainly less likely if you're going to be hiding it under a bowl. Perhaps you're more suited to instructing, encouraging, and getting alongside believers. You would be more effective in a ministry within the church where you can actually shine bright to help build his church, to be a part of what he's doing. So I suppose it's getting away from the selfish aspect that church so often creates, where we fall into that place where it's all about our church rather than being about his kingdom. There are times where we need our vision expanded, but it's not just about us here. There's a world out there that God is trying to reach into, people who find themselves in a really dark place. And here you and I have the ability to shed light into it. But there are times in conversation you think, oh, I'll no bother saying that. How will I look? How will I sound? And we can put ourselves off. And you can be the very person that changes something in that person's life. Because, as we said at the beginning, you are the light. The light is in you and I. Together, we need to be kingdom builders. Where we start to see what it is that God is expecting of us. Because there's a very real danger for every church to become so introvert that it's only about us. And really, we have to expand that kind of thinking. Because when you expand that kind of thinking, it will spread into the friends you meet up, the shops, the people that you work with, whether you're at school, college, university, wherever you find yourself, then you just cannot help but be in a stand, in a place where it gives light to everyone in the room, where it cannot be hidden. So you see, all of us, no matter where we serve, we need to remember, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And if we do not take the opportunity to shine for him, then how are our friends, our family, our work colleagues going to find him? How are they going to find Christ? You know, there are probably so many opportunities that we've missed over the years because of that kind of holding back. What are people going to think of me? It's just something that grabs hold of us sometimes. And there needs to be something in us that's just overwhelmed and will overcome that fear. Yeah, it will mean ridicule. It will mean people whispering behind your back. It will mean maybe even being ostracized in amongst certain circles. Was Christ accepted everywhere he went? No, he wasn't. And sometimes we think it should be different for us. He gives us a perfect example through his word of what it is like to actually be that light everywhere you go. He wasn't accepted everywhere, and neither will we. But remember, it is Christ that's been rejected. Don't take it personal, because that will just cause you to draw back into that dark place. As believers, we expose darkness indirectly by living holy lives. There will be occasions when there's things that are simply noticed about you. It'll be noticed that you don't swear, you don't cheat, you don't get drunk, you don't have sex outside marriage, or you don't lie. This exposes sin in other people's lives. There's some things you don't even need to say anything. You just find it awkward to be in your company because you don't live that way. That's the light of Christ being seen. Sometimes it's visible without even saying a word. It can be by the way you conduct yourself. You know, we must use wisdom in our conversations and interactions where our words are filled with grace and seasoned with salt, where it can be most effective. You know, the light itself, it rebukes, and which can typically invoke either the desire to change or anger That's why you'll often get different reactions. Some people will respond angrily, and others will come to a place to recognise, you know what, there's something in this. There's something in this. Perhaps I do need to change. We need to allow the light of Christ to do his work through us. That's what he's called us to do, to be his light, that he would be seen, he would be visible wherever we find ourselves. So, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord God, we give you thanks because you have given us Christ, your Son, our Saviour. We thank you, Lord God, for the light that he produces in us. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us in these days when there is that place where we would rather just go away and hide. We'd rather not be in any kind of spotlight. We'd rather not be noticed. We'd rather not be heard. Father, I ask that you would give us strength in these days to be the people that you've called us to be, that we would be truly effective for you. Help us, Lord, to be reflectors of your light. Help us, Father, to put our light on a stand, because it's not about us. It's all about you. The Lord, we recognize our own weaknesses, and we ask that you would strengthen us by the power of your Holy Spirit. You would invigorate us. You would refresh us. You would fan that flame, that your light would be seen, and that you would be honored and glorified in our lives. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to invite Martin, the praise team, to come back up and lead us in our closing worship. Thank you.